Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
It's E4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 6 of E4 2019. I'm Tommy, of course, Jamie sitting over there. How you doing, man? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. way more
This
awake.
Is a weird time of year where we do, like, lots of morning shows.
Yeah, it's really weird. Really kind of
very weird.
Like, I woke up, this is how I know that it's E3, and I'm happy, and it's all good, and we're just trying to figure out when you're going to get here, because yeah. I woke up at 6:54 this morning. Sun's out, and I'm like, well, I'm up. So I woke up and started watching stuff, because believe it or not, yesterday was a big day. Lots and lots of stuff yesterday. So much yes. crap that we couldn't get through it all. Plus, the PC show was like 2 hours long. Holy crap! yeah. That was 2 hours. Then I'm like, guys, speed this up.
Keep it moving. Yeah. I hear you. I do. I'll say I'm up most days now at like 6, because I just can't sleep past 6. Just little girl has got me like trained at this point. But last night was an exception, because she decided to wake up at midnight and just needed to snuggle for a while, which isn't the worst thing in the world. But at midnight, it's not super convenient. So I ended up watching E3 stuff at about 1 o'clock this morning with her sleeping in my arms. So again, not the worst thing in the world. I didn't get up at like 7. So that's my sleeping in at this point. If I get to 7, I'm doing pretty good.
So that's why you're pointing me, because he's like, dude, you watch it all? And I'm like, really? Really? I still got like one press conference left. I didn't know he was up at midnight watching crap.
You do what you do.
Yeah, well, now I know, okay? I gotta get caught up now.
All that said, the topic for this show is the PC gaming show that you mentioned just a second ago. And so a little bit different on this one. We're not going to walk through every single game that talked about, just because it was long. And this is now becoming usually the longest, or one of the longer of the press events. And it's a lot of niche stuff, which is really cool, but also a lot of stuff that we have no clue about. Like, there's stuff that they're like, oh, this game is so big, and we're like, what game, when, where, how, you know.
Well, okay, here's the deal. The reason that you have no clue is because they don't really take any time at all to explain anything. It's just like, look, here's software.
Yeah. They assume you know, and like, if you don't know, they assume you probably don't care, you know. Like, it's like, if you're a fan of this, you're probably all in. If you're not a fan of this, you're probably not in at all, you know, not really caring about it. Although there are a few things that popped up that are like well-established things that I just hadn't ever really taken a look at before.
Vampire, I forgot to mention that. We need to talk about that.
That's right at the top, which was cool. There's a ton of stuff in here though. So again, go find like trailers or whatever if you're a PC gamer. I love this show for that specific reason, and that there's something for everybody. Like, if you're a PC gamer, there's something in this show that appealed to you. There's also a lot that probably didn't, but that's fine. So let's talk about the software that was shown, and we'll start with Vampire, because I think that's a big. Maybe one of the two bigger ones that they talked about. And so Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 is coming early next year. And the first game came out, what, like 15 years ago or something? It's been a long time making.
Vampire's been around a long time, because Masquerade was the second or third game in the series. Because there was Vampire, and then there was Vampire the Masquerade. And, like, I really think the series has been, it's been on for a while, but you're right, it's been 15 years.
Yeah, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines came out in 2004. That's nuts.
Yeah.
And it's such a great, like, cult classic, like, such a beloved game. Like, it's still, like, I see a pop-up on Steam, you know, as like, oh, yeah, here's Vampire still. Might be a game you're interested in. It's a 15-year-old game or whatever. So, yeah, it's definitely got a following, and people are really excited. And it's what I'm excited about. I played Masquerade way back in the day, and so... I don't remember it very well.
No.
It was 15 years ago. But I know I liked it. It was a good game, and so I'm excited for another one. It looks pretty. It's vampires. It's like, I don't know. Like, the whole vibe of it is pretty cool.
The thing that was always cool about Masquerade or any other vampire game was those were... Back in the day, those were really the only good superhero games that you had. Because superhero games were not a thing like they are now, and even today they still suck. But you're a vampire, you got all these skills, you got speed, you got strength, you're invulnerable, you're all that. So it's cool to play somebody that is that, and that's the draw to this series, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's not a ton of vampire stuff for sure. That's kind of big stuff in the gaming world, and so that makes a difference. Another game that they showed off, like I said, we're going to jump around a little bit, but I'll mention Starmancer really quick, which is this, they call it a space station sim, that you get to build up your space station and everything. It's published by Chucklefish, which was for a long time the publisher of Stardew Valley, not anymore, but published Stardew Valley for a long time. And I mentioned that just because it kind of has that kind of vibe-ish thing to it. Doesn't look like, it'll feel like Stardew Valley necessarily, but it's the similar kind of, sprite-based graphics and in space. I don't know. It's one that looks like it will suck me in. Like, just looks like a fun management game.
Yeah, and that's one of those that you'll be able to play while you multitask.
Yes.
That's
those games I appreciate, as you know.
That's an iPad game that you'll be able to play a lot as you multitask. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. They also showed off Chivalry 2, which I don't know, like, has Chivalry ever enticed you, interested you in any way?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I can't walk, right? So the idea of putting on 30 pounds of armor and trying to have the sword really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. However, there's something to be said for walking up to somebody and just taking off their head. So,
yeah,
which is what they showed in this trailer, which I thought was funny. Just walked up to a guy and whack! And I got a kick out of that. So,
That's something I didn't know about this franchise. Like, I've seen Chivalry for a long time and just never caught my interest. But one of the developers talking about it said that they draw a lot of inspiration from Monty Python. Like, that there's just a lot of this over the top kind of ridiculousness to it, and I never got that sense of it from just what I've seen very much in passing. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, that might actually be something worth taking a look at. If it's like, doesn't take itself too seriously, that's kind of over the top, goofy, whatever. But like, knights in armor beating on each other, like, I might check that out.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with anything like that. There's several of those out there now.
Yes.
Chivalry is another one of those that's been around a long time, And there's other games out there, like Mountain Blade is another one of those, that armor and horses and all of that. So this is a genre that is alive and well.
Yeah. I'll mention here too, because it's something that was kind of a theme through the whole PC show. This is a limited exclusive for the Epic Game Store. The Epic Game Store was one of the sponsors of the PC Game Show, so worth putting that out there in that context. But the Epic Game Store was kind of front and center through a lot of these games that they talked about, either timed exclusives or exclusives at this point. Again, everything can be a timed exclusive after a while. But one of the other really big games we're going to talk about here in a little bit is currently going to be exclusive to the Epic Game Store. And so the idea of the Epic Game Store is trying to find that footing and make sure that it is relevant is still happening. It's definitely still a part of
PC gaming world. I still don't have an account. I need
world.
To go get that because I don't have an account yet. So,
yeah. They're also giving away a free game every week for like the summer on the Epic Game Store, which is kind of nuts. The store itself still is just not great. The UI is at least to me, is not great. But it's not bad. I've downloaded and played stuff off of it, and it, you know, it works fine. They have a big sale going on right now. I just can't see what's on sale. Like, I can't find it. By the way, so right now the free game that you can pick up is Kingdom New Lands, which supposedly is pretty good. It's this kind of pixelated side scroller builder thing. I don't know. But the one that's coming in 2 days is Enter the Gungeon, which we talked about, the arcade cabinet that's coming from Devolver that's around the Gungeon world. And so Enter the Gungeon is going to be the next free game on the Epic Game Store, which is pretty cool. I actually am psyched about playing that one. So good for them giving us free games. So I'll take about anybody who's going to give us free games.
Like, we need more games to play.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, no doubt. We are overloaded with games at this point. So, but we've got tons more to talk about because there's tons of games. I'll mention here Mosaic. I don't really get it yet, but I'm interested in it. It's this kind of dystopian, like, world where everybody's caught up on their phone. It originally teases it with, like, playing an app, which you can go get this app right now on iOS or Android. That's called Blip Blop. That's like this mindless app that everybody in the world is playing on their phone in this very dark and dreary world. And apparently you're going to have to like bring light to the world, make it happy again or something like that. I don't really understand what the purpose of it's going to be, but it looks cool. It kind of reminded me of something like Limbo maybe, or something like that. That just very kind of dark ambient vibe to it. That could be really cool. It may suck too, but it could be really cool. And so I'm excited about it.
You knew somebody was going to make a game that the entire point was, hey, put down your phone, idiot.
Yeah. I'm actually playing Blip Blop on my phone right now, so they failed at that. Oh, blip, I got one blop. Blip, I got two blops. It's literally just hitting a button that says blip, and then you get blops. And it's just a counter. Your phone vibrates every time. I could really drive down my battery pretty fast. Yep, that's. Oh, hey, I got to 50. Oh, I see how this sucks you in. Oh, man, this is great. Okay. I get a cash in. Ooh, I get a blip times two. Upgrade my blip button. Now it goes faster. Great job. I reached level two. Man, this is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Literally just hitting a button. Oh, it's clever. After that, we saw a game called Midnight Ghost Hunt, which is actually... this one got my interest. So it's basically Ghostbusters. Like, it's very much obviously inspired by Ghostbusters, with even kind of plasma gun things that they're running around with. But it's a multiplayer hide and seek game is how the developer described it. That, like, somebody's playing the ghost hunters and somebody's playing the ghosts. And if you're the ghost, what you're trying to do is essentially just not get found until time runs out. And you got a clock, and when time runs out, if you haven't gotten found and defeated, you win. And if you're the ghost, you like hide in objects around this house. And so in the trailer they were showing, like the ghost was hiding in a lamp. And then the ghost hunters have like tools that they can help use to find you, like a ghost radar detector kind of thing. And so you point it at like different objects to see if you can find it. And if you find it, like the ghost can like launch objects at you or take over, like a suit of armor was part of it, and all this stuff. It looked really fast and insane, and I don't know. But the concept seems really fun.
I got a kick out of this guy as they were talking to him, because they were talking to him about this game that he created, and it's one guy. Like, it's a one-man studio kind of a thing. And so he's trying to explain it, and he didn't have, like, technical terms for anything. His thing was like, we got tools like a ghost radar thing, and we got some plasma guns, and we had, like... It was very, very, very vague, and I'm like, dude, you gotta have some documentation or something. Yeah. Like, we gotta know what's going on here.
But, and apparently that dude's like the whole thing. Like, he's the whole developing every component of this, programming everything. And so, yeah, he was, I liked him. I thought he was entertaining. I did enjoy the fact that he was just like, yeah, it's like a radar thing, you know, like, cool. Like that sounds great, you know, whatever.
So. Yeah.
We did get a little bit of hardware. Samsung showed off a 27-inch curved gaming monitor, bragged about refresh rate, 240 hertz, 3001 contrast ratio. It's going to be under $400. My favorite part of this whole thing, though, is when dude in the audience yelled out, "Is it 4K?" And the guy was like, "No, it's not 4K at that price. Are you kidding me?" Like
that was hilarious. That was hilarious.
That was really funny. My favorite, like Day Nine's face at that moment of like random dude in the audience yelling out. Was pretty great. So I'm trying to think. I think that's about the only hardware we've got in the show. We've seen, you know, video cards and that kind of stuff during the gaming show in the past. So got a screen this time, which is cool. I don't know. I feel like if I'm gonna buy a new screen, it's gonna be 4K.
Well, I don't know how useful for gaming a 4K screen is.
That's fair.
Because, you know, there's not that many games that are... there may be...
natively 4K.
Like, on one hand, there may be. I don't know how useful that is.
Yeah. Not yet. It'll come, but it's a question of how soon it'll come.
What I'm curious about is the curved...
I know. That's the thing that intrigues me about these. I haven't ever played on a curved monitor, like, at all, like, even just, like, looking at one. I just think I'd go to, like, Best Buy and see one set up. But I'm really interested in that. Like, it's, like, they're talking about it being more immersive and all that kind of stuff. I just want to feel it. I just want to get that sense of what a curved monitor is like. So, that could be cool. Again, it's under $400, which is pretty solid for a 27-inch monitor in general, like a high-end 27-inch monitor that's not 4K. So,
by the way, if you like what we do, you want to give us a curved monitor, we will definitely take that. Just send us two. We need two.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have Patreon people. We've gotten
quarter of the way through the show.
We need to mention those people.
Good time to bring them up. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. As always, thank all of you guys for supporting us and helping us pay for stuff and maybe fun curved monitors eventually. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, go to buygaminguncensored.com, click on that Become a Patron link there by the top of the page. Thanks again, guys. Y'all are awesome. And we will have content coming. We keep promising that. The Patreon will be hopping soon, just hasn't started hopping yet because we've been spending all of our time doing these normal shows. It's a weird E3 for us, but it's going to be kind of front end of the normal podcast, back end of all the Patreon content.
So back on the monitor thing. The thing with the monitor that I have problems with is there's 8 zillion screens at this point. The reason I haven't bought another one is I don't know how you tell what's good and what's not. Like, I'm a tech junkie, I'm a spec junkie, I'm all that. But I don't know how to judge a monitor.
Yeah, I don't either. like the idea of contrast ratio, that's one that I feel like on the screens that I play on, that's one like visible thing that I can feel that's not great about my screens is that they don't have great contrast ratios, and so stuff doesn't pop like I would like for it to pop. But my like in-laws have like this massive TV that's, you know, like 60-inch whatever that I just think it looks terrible, and I feel like it looks terrible in part because the contrast is so high on it, and so like, and I know contrast ratio and like contrast as a video setting are not the same thing, but it feels like the contrast ratio overemphasizes things. I'm sure it's you could go in there and fix the settings and whatever, make it look better. But just like every time I see their TV, I'm like, everything looks so like cheesy and fake, and I don't want that either, you know. And so it's like, where is the kind of balance at that you get that good, crisp, clear image that's not overly whatever? I don't know. I'm not technical on it either, but I would like a better monitor. I think that'd be fun.
I really would too. And to know how the tech works, because they had the Borderlands people near the end, and everybody and their dog is talking about HDR right now. And it didn't even really occur to me that on the monitors that we are playing on, we can't even really see HDR, even though we have HDR graphics cards.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't come by. And that didn't occur to me till yesterday.
Yeah.
There's just so much that I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, what I'm figuring out in this moment, it is time for us for some monitor upgrades. that's for sure. It's just been a long time. Like, we just had the same monitors for a long time. So
yes. Yeah.
Fair enough. Let's see some other games here. I'm trying to just pick out ones that look interesting.
What's the
Age of Wonders Planet.
What?
Go ahead.
I was gonna ask, what's the one with the real time strategy that it says that when you get to a certain point, it like zooms into where your troops are going? I've never seen
I think that's
that.
The Age of Wonders Planetfall one. That's a I think it's that one. I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to pull up a video of it. Yeah, that kind of looks like Civ when you're like building up and stuff, and like you can ride dinosaurs. That's the one thing I remember from it. Like dinosaurs with lasers, which sounds really fun. But like when you go into combat, instead of it just being like Civ combat, where it's just like two armies kind of clash and it's like rolls, and whoever wins the rolls wins there. Like it actually like zooms in on the tile, and you get this much more tactical kind of combat thing, which does sound pretty cool. Like that sounds fun. Like I dug that concept a lot.
I just like the idea of the whole you get to a certain point, it zooms in and goes to the ground, and you can really see what's going on. Going back to the monitor thing for a second, we're getting to the point with the resolutions that you can actually afford to do that in a game. And it's a really cool idea.
Absolutely. Planet Zoo is one that we're both pretty excited about. This reminds me of last year at E3 when we saw the, what's it called? Two Point Hospital. That looked really fun. And I've actually, they did a free weekend and I played a bunch of it, and it really is pretty fun. Like, there's just sim games that look like they're going to be really enjoyable, and Planet Zoo, I feel like, is the one this year that just looks like fun.
I don't have any idea how to run a zoo. And I don't either. I don't have any idea how to feed animals. Like, that's my biggest fear, is they're going to say, here's your zoo with all these animals. And after a couple of days, just everything dies. Like, that's what I'm afraid of. Because I'm afraid I don't have a skill set. However, what catches me on this one, again, back to the monitor thing, this is one of those games visually, which we couldn't really say this about the PC show. I love those guys, but they didn't really have the games that come up on the screen. And it's like, wow. This was a wow. Like, these people have done some work.
It is really pretty. Really pretty. And I've, like, for, like, a zoo simulator where like, so much of the interest is going to be around the animals, like, they got that right, it feels like. Like, it just, it looks really, really, really good. And so, yeah. I don't know. I want to play it. Which is not what I anticipate coming out of the PC show saying is the Planet Zoo is a game that I must have, but no, Planet Zoo is a game I really want.
It scratches that Molyneux itch, I think.
Yes. I think that's a good way to put it.
It's very much one of those Peter Molyneux games that's like, hey, that's pretty and it does stuff. And yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. We also heard about Shenmue 3. The show trailer talked about it a little bit. I've never played Shenmue. I know those are big deals.
It's
one of those franchises.
It's on Game Pass. We need to play it.
There you go. Shenmue 3 is coming in November to PS4 and then on PC exclusively to the Epic Game Store, which seems like a big get for the Epic Game Store. Because again, Shenmue is a really, really big franchise. Even if it's not one that we've spent much time with, it's a big deal. And so that feels like a big get for Epic.
You talk about being around a long time. That was the first real title that I was really, really, really upset about not being able to play way back in the day on the Dreamcast. Like, that's where it started, was on the Dreamcast in, like, 99.
Yeah.
That's how long
it's nuts.
Been.
That is crazy. We also saw a game called Per Aspera. I'm mentioning this one just because it's something that I'm kind of fascinated by, which is terraforming Mars. It's a very weird thing to be fascinated by, but like it's just something that like I've read up on and have interest in. So seeing a game that's about terraforming Mars, about turning it into like an inhabitable planet, piqued my interest. I don't know that anybody else is going to be care about it, but it's another kind of looks like a sim base building kind of game that could be pretty cool.
How long have we been friends?
A long time.
We spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
I am mind-blown about the fact that we need to spend more time together, because now I have to ask you, have you seen that show on National Geographic about Mars? The one with that sort of a docudrama kind of a thing that it's a filmed show with cut-ins of like live interviews with Elon Musk and talking about how they're actually gonna do this. You gotta look that up. That's really good.
Apparently,
they just did season 2. I have not seen it yet. I have seen season 1, but it's really cool, and I'm really intrigued by Mars, as if we needed any more to share.
Yeah, I did not know that, so there we go.
Yeah.
Random shared interest there, and now there's a game coming about it. So, Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey is an evolution game, which also kind of looks fascinating. I don't know if it'll be any fun to play, but the concept's novel. Haven't seen many, but we've seen, famously, we saw Spore, which was an evolution game that fell pretty flat. This one's very much about human evolution, and so it starts with human ancestors and building up and evolving and expanding your own territory and that kind of stuff. Again, I don't know that it's going to be fun, but the concept's interesting enough. I at least want to see it.
Again, it could be very, very pretty. What bothers me about this one is, dude was like, there's not really a story.
Yeah.
And Lady was like, what's the deal with this? What are you trying to do? And he's like, well, you're just trying to evolve and stuff. And I'm going, dude, this is your spot. Like, you really need to explain. And he really couldn't do it, which bothered me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely a red flag about this one, whether or not it's going to be cool. We'll see. Borderlands 3, you mentioned earlier, they talked more about Borderlands 3, including talking about grenades. This is the one part I've found fascinating, is they're just talking about how, like, they're trying to make grenades even more fun, and that, like, he was talking about a grenade that, like, when you throw it, like, shoots bullets while it's flying through the air. And that sounds amazing.
Borderlands is another one of those that you and I really need to get involved with. I've played multiplayer a little bit with Duff, and that's not a whole lot of fun. But I think the single player is pretty good. And we really need to get involved. But I wanted to ask you about this. Borderlands is Gearbox. And Gearbox is Randy Bitchford. And I don't know if you feel the same way that I do, but that dude was awkward. Like, he was like, we got Borderlands 3, it's going to be awesome! And like, he's cursing and all kinds of stuff. And like, it was just weird. It felt really weird.
He's a bit of an awkward dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, I love what they're doing. I really want to play it, but I'm like, this guy I'm not sure about.
Yeah, I hear you there. They showed off more of Maneater, the shark PG that we saw last year.
It needs to go away.
Yeah, I can't figure out if I think it's going to be the worst thing, or like if it's going to be amazing and like take over the world. Like, I could either see it being like something we never talk about again, or like suddenly being this like massive cult success that like everybody's playing and becomes like this pop culture reference.
Here's the problem with it. Basically, they did the same thing that they did last year. Dude came out, talked about it, showed a trailer, and said, it's coming along! And they looked at him and said, when's it coming out? And he's like, not sure! And that was when I said, okay, yeah, this one, I don't think we're going to... I'm not real interested because... I don't know if he has a day job. I don't know what's going on there, but we've seen this 2 years, and it's basically in the same place it was last year. So,
yeah, that's fair. Again, it's shark eating people, and so I don't know how deep that has to get. He did say he thought it would be out before the PC show next year. So, for what it's worth, it's not one that I'm sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for. But if it comes on sale on Steam in a couple of years for like $5, I could see myself picking it up. You know, like it's one of those kind of games. I'm like, okay, it's just like the novelty factor of it is enough that I'm gonna have to try it at some point just to say I did.
So. Because you always needed a shark PG.
Yes. Yeah, if nothing else, the fact that dude calls it a shark PG is fantastic. So, a couple more for you. We saw Warframe yet again. Warframe's still a thing, and they're like still growing, and I don't know. It's still a thing. just blows my mind that we see it every year.
Yeah. Apparently, we can't really say anything about those guys because I think they're probably making a whole lot more money than anybody is aware of.
Yeah.
Because every time we see them, they're doing some massive expansion. So yeah. That's very, very good for them. And when I say massive expansion, I mean every time we see them, the game changes drastically. And it's one of those that if we ever have time, we just need to sit down and figure out what the deal is, because we see it every year, and I have absolutely no clue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I've played it before, and it was fine. It didn't suck me in, but sucks some people in, obviously, because they're still here. So, we'll finish up with Baldur's Gate 3. That was where they finished up at as well. I was a little disappointed overall because we just didn't see anything more from it. We saw the teaser during the Stadia event. We got to hear about it, which was cool, and talking about the passion of Baldur's Gate, obviously, about kind of how this partnership came about. And then about, obviously, the heavy D&D application here, talking about that it's based off of 5th edition and on, which is all stuff I dig. That's to be the joy of Baldur's Gate, that it's the Dungeons & Dragons video game. Like, it pulls that off better than any other Dungeons & Dragons-esque video game, because it is the Dungeons & Dragons game, and so I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled to play it. We're not going to see it for a while. That release date is when it's ready. So don't be holding your breath for Baldur's Gate 3. Didn't see any new gameplay. And then that's all fine. I was hoping to see something, but alas, here we are.
What they did say that was interesting is that they have a new tabletop prequel to Baldur's Gate 3, which we absolutely, again, we need to do this show full time. We absolutely have to play that. We have to play that.
That's, that would be a blast.
There's a lot of stuff that we really need to play. This is, put this in the same boat as Cyberpunk Tabletop. Like, we need to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say again, folks, give us money, give us 40 hours a week to do this show. We will give you content, because there's stuff to play, and I want to so bad.
Yeah. GamingAndSister.com. Click that Patreon link right there. Help us out. So that's it for the PC show. No major announcements, nothing huge out of it, but a lot of software, a bunch we skipped over. So if you're interested, go look up some of the trailers of either stuff we talked about or stuff we didn't talk about. We'll be doing trailer content, that kind of stuff, for the Patreon in the next week. And so you may see a few of these pop back up. But if you find anything that you want us to talk about, let us know, because we'll absolutely talk about it.
Absolutely. And I have no idea who is fronting that deal, who's paying for it, how they get it done, but there's a lot of people over there putting in a whole lot of work, and I was having a problem with my stream, but either before or after, at some point, even Jeff Keighley showed up. I don't know if you saw that. But they were talking about AMD hardware and all the stuff that AMD is about to put out. And so they work really hard to come up with the sponsorship to put that show together. And as weird as it is, I'm glad to see it every year.
I am too. I really dig this show. Again, half of it I'm bored to death during, because it's just stuff that's not my thing. But I love the fact that it exists, and the things that are my thing I get really hyped about. And something like Two Point Hospital, that may not have played if I hadn't have seen it during the PC show last year, I ended up playing and really enjoying. So yeah, it's a fun show. I dig it a lot. So
stay with us, boys and girls. We are right in the middle of it. We still got lots of stuff for you, so hang in there. We got Nintendo today. I'm gonna watch Square. We've got several shows left for you, so stay with us. Hit us up on the Facebook page. Lots of stuff going on over there. I'm sure somebody is yelling at us for something. So go over there and join in. Of course, we got the Twitter. Lots of stuff happening on Twitter. Tommy's always watching Twitter, even during shows. So if you'd like to talk to us during shows especially, the Twitter is the way to do it. Definitely go over there and check that out. We also have the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
We are paying attention. If you submit something, we will find a space to play it. That would probably be during the later part of the week for the Patreon content. That'd be pretty cool if we did that. So definitely make use of that. Other than that, I think that's pretty much it for right now. You are
really
listening.
Quick. I just got to throw this in because you mentioned, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but you just mentioned checking Twitter. So I checked Twitter. And I kid you not, Jeff Keighley, who we just talked about, mentioned Elon Musk, who you mentioned in the show just a second ago, is going to have a conversation with Todd Howard on Thursday at E3.
Where is that?
I don't know. Just announced Thursday at E3 Coliseum, Elon Musk in conversation with Todd Howard, noon. You don't want to miss this 1 hour special event.
Dude, can you?
That's fascinating.
holy cow. Somebody get that on video.
No joke. We'll be talking about that one. So, good old Twitter. There you go.
That's a whole show right there. Wow.
Todd Howard and Elon Musk. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I love it because Elon has, like, he doesn't really say anything, and then Todd says everything, so that's going to be really fun.
That'd be fascinating.
I love it. See, yep. That's the greatness of Twitter right there.
Right there. So, anyway, there you go.
You are listening to Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. It's E4 and it's only on GamingUncensored.com. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. My mind is blown and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.